We are in Ruth chapter 3. I will read through the chapter and then we will take it verse by verse. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you? Now Boaz, whose young women you were with, is he not our relative? In fact, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Therefore, wash yourself and anoint yourself. Put on your best garment and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. Then it shall be when he lies down that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go in, uncover his feet, and lie down, and he will tell you what you should do." And she said to her, "All that you say to me, I will do." So she went down to the threshing floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law instructed her. And after Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was cheerful, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grains. And she came softly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. Now it happened at midnight that the man was startled and turned himself. And there a woman was lying at his feet. And he said, "Who are you?" So she answered, "I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative." Then he said, "Blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, and that you did not go after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear, for I will do all that you request, for all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman. Now it is true that I am a close relative. However, there is a relative closer than I. Stay this night, and in the morning it shall be that if he will perform the duty of a close relative for you, good, let him do it. But if he does not want to perform the duty for you, then I will perform the duty for you as the Lord lives. Lie down until morning." So she lay at his feet until morning, and she arose before one could recognize another. Then he said, "Do not let it be known that the woman came to the threshing floor." Also he said, "Bring the shawl that is on you and hold it." And when she had held it, he measured 6 ephahs of barley and laid it on her. Then she went into the city. When she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "Is that you, my daughter?" Then she told her all that the man had done for her. Then she said, "These 6 ephahs of barley he gave me, for he said, 'Do not go empty-handed to your mother-in-law.'" Then she said, "Sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out, for the man will not rest until he has concluded the matter this day. Since Naomi and Ruth arrived in Bethlehem, time has passed. From chapter 1 to chapter 3, approximately 3 months have passed. A 10-year period covered in the first part of chapter 1. 10 years of doing what was right in the family's own eyes. 10 years previous, Naomi was full, pleasant, a wife, a mother, a landowner. After 10 years and doing what was right in their own eyes, Naomi is empty, bitter, a widow, and both sons dead. She returns home with a Moabitess daughter-in-law. 2 poor widows coming home to the house of bread. This great record of Scripture shows us how God turns our mourning into dancing. This powerful record of Naomi and Ruth reveals how God will receive you when you're empty, so he can fill you. You are no longer filled with self, and thus he is able to fill you. God does his best when his people come with tears of bitterness at their own failures, the baggage they bring with them to the house of bread. He takes that and lifts it from you. We have seen what he is doing with a Moabitess daughter-in-law. God's riches are revealed and poured out on those who are poor and in need of sustenance. His great provision. God takes the ones that his own people say are not redeemable. And when he moves to redeem them, it knocks us off our high horse. God says, "This Moabitess you keep referring to, you only want to give crumbs And I want you, in your own spare time, to look at Matthew 1. If you look at Matthew 1, she is in my son's ancestry, is what God has said. Not only did he record this book, there are two books with women's names. We know Esther, but she was part of the covenant people. Ruth is a Gentile. What great honor was given to this woman, first of all, that there was a book recording her coming in to the covenant people. But not only that, in the New Testament, and the first book of the New Testament, who traces the ancestry of our Lord and Savior back to Abraham, to the one that God initiated the covenant with, there is Ruth. Read for yourself and how God will stretch out his glorious hand to honor obedient servants, selfless believers. Naomi is Ruth's mother now and her family. And we see a woman not raised in church but showing great honor and respect to Naomi. Ruth is submitting to the older woman and being taught. In Ruth chapter 1, we see wasted years, 10 years wasted. In Ruth chapter 2, we see working days, 3 months of just working, working, working. In chapter 3, what we see is one night, a night of seeking and waiting. And then chapter 4, we see the rest of her life, and that is a wedding and children and joys and riches. Chapter 2, Ruth has been gleaning in the field of Boaz, a near kinsman. Boaz has heard of Ruth's situation and commitment to Naomi from the town folks. Boaz has heard from his foreman of her work ethic. And now, as we end chapter 3, realize Boaz has had 3 months to watch firsthand to see if all the reports are true. Let's get a little insight into Boaz. Boaz was a mature man. He was wealthy, well-known, and respected in the community. He was one of those who would sit at the city gate. He was one of those elders. He was a believer in God, and he was part of the covenant people. And from what Scripture says, and there's no record of it, I don't believe that Boaz was married, nor did he have any children. Ruth was a young woman. She was attractive, a widow, and poor, outside of the covenant. Not only was she just outside of the covenant, but she was a Moabite. Naomi was an older woman. She was a widow, she was poor, she was part of the covenant people, and no family to care for her, and apparently too old to work in the fields. And thus we have Ruth going out to work in the fields to glean for her and her mother-in-law. Verses 1 and 2, we remember weeks have passed since Ruth came home. That first night after gleaning in Boaz's field. And each day since the revelation that Boaz is a kinsman and the evidence day after day that God has a hand in this, Ruth is not bringing home scraps, but she is bringing home satisfied. Needs met abundantly. Listen, remember what Boaz had told his reapers, those that he had hired to work for him? He said, you let some of what you reap fall out for her, and you do not chastise her if she leaves the perimeter of the field and comes inside, but you leave her to glean. She reports to Naomi how well she is treated by all the reapers, the paid workers. The young women help her and keep her in the right field. Because remember, Boaz said, don't leave my field. You stay and you glean in my fields. She tells Naomi, I have access to fresh water drawn by the young men. I am safe, Naomi, and we are provided for. This is a wonderful field that we are able to be sustained on. Since Ruth has come into Naomi's family, Naomi has been discipling her in word and in deed. Ruth loves Naomi, And every day she reveals that she is with Naomi till the end. I want to refer back one more time to Ruth chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. And this is what Ruth said to her before she ever left Moab. But Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me." So Ruth made a commitment to Naomi there before she ever left Moab. And in all of these months that have passed on the trip back to Bethlehem, as she's out working every day in the hot sun to glean from the fields, and she brings it home, and then it has to be beaten and sifted, she has revealed her character, that she is a woman of her word, her commitment that she made to Naomi. And Naomi's response to that commitment is to teach Ruth about the one true God, the God who redeemed Israel and brought them out of Egypt. So all of this is her laying out to Ruth. She is sowing into Ruth's life spiritual words and a life of where Ruth had seen these things in Naomi. Now she's living among the covenant people, and she's with this covenant woman, and this covenant woman who knows God is telling Ruth about this God. And all it does is increase Ruth's resolve to stay and not to leave. That the work is not too hard. That I am satisfied, Naomi. Every day that I go out, your God is good to me, who will soon be Ruth's God. In the time that has passed, Naomi knows that Ruth will remain a widow the rest of her life. No husband, no home of her own, no children, no security for the future, no rest for Ruth. Ruth's future was not as promising as Naomi's, because Ruth has no daughter-in-law to provide for her as Naomi does. As she observes this situation and she sees Ruth go out every day, and she sees that Ruth is committed to her word and committed to Naomi. Naomi doesn't know how long she will live, but Ruth could be past the age of childbearing or marrying soon. And so her thoughts then turn from herself to Ruth and how to secure a future for her. Naomi, out of love for Ruth and realizing the circumstances of the events and remembering the law of the kinsman redeemer, now instructs Ruth once again for a future and a hope. As she has been telling this young woman about the God who redeemed her, the Holy Spirit brought to Naomi's remembrance the kinsman redeemer. And as Naomi saw, as the months were passing, this young woman who was so committed to her, I believe that her love so increased for Ruth that she said, I must secure rest for her, a future and a hope for her. And God has provided a way. She says, "Shall I not seek rest, security for you?" Naomi goes from looking at the immediate to the future. Restoration of a believer brings this. It brings vision of a hope. See, Naomi was part of the covenant. Ruth was not. Naomi has been restored. She's being restored. And in that, it causes her then to begin to have a vision and to see. And she wants that for Ruth. Ruth, there is provision for you to be redeemed. The God of Israel has made a way. Oh, thank God for this law. of the near kinsman redeemer. We need to read this book with such great hope and rejoicing at our own redemption. That way is Boaz. Ruth, you have been with the young women working in his fields. Boaz is a kinsman redeemer. I see now. It's what Naomi says. You know that this didn't just happen. You didn't just wander into his field. This is the sovereign hand of God for your life, Naomi, for your life, Ruth, excuse me, and for my life also. And I will have peace knowing that you will have rest. Naomi is burdened now for Ruth's welfare and security in Israel, because Naomi knows that Ruth is not going back. She knows that once she dies and she is buried, that Ruth's commitment and her word is that she will be buried beside her. She has left her father and her mother. She has left her homeland. She has left her people to take Naomi's people as her own. Naomi's God as her own. And Naomi's burial place will be her burial place. Scripture records for us two meetings between Ruth and Boaz. First meeting, Ruth wanders in his field. Just happens into Boaz's field. The second one, Ruth went deliberately. The first one was by day. It was a public meeting. She went there to work. The second meeting was by night. It was in secret. And it was Ruth proposing marriage to Boaz. Ruth needed to be secure in her place with the family of God. She is coming to the one who can secure her place. This is a picture of us needing to be secure, to find rest in the family of God. And there is only one kinsman redeemer for us, Jesus Christ. We all need a Naomi who is burdened for us to point us in the right direction. Jesus is related to us, born of a woman. Jesus was able to pay our debt. Jesus wanted to. He came for that reason. Jesus was debt free. Ruth's security lies in the uniqueness of Boaz as ours with Jesus the Christ, Savior of mankind. Boaz could not redeem mankind. He could not pay the debt, and he was not debt free. But Jesus meets every requirement to fulfill the law of kinsman redeemer. Boaz is only a shadow. Boaz is at the threshing floor. And this is a festive time in Israel for the reapers and the owners of the harvest. Remember in Judges, Gideon hiding at the threshing floor? The enemy was stealing their grain. Thus, they would guard their grain by sleeping with it. And so we see that Boaz is sleeping there. But women were not to be there. In Ruth chapter 3, verse 14, the bottom part of it, it says, "Then he said, do not let it be known that the woman came to the threshing floor." The threshing floor was a time of separation at the end of harvest. It was the place where the grain was gathered and sifted to separate husk and kernel, wheat and chaff, separated from one another. Remember when Jesus said, "Peter, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat." I want to read to you Luke chapter 22. We're going to read a few scriptures right here. But Luke chapter 22, verses 31 through 32. "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." In Matthew chapter 3, verse 12, "His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." And Matthew 13:30, "Let both grow together until the harvest, and at the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Here we see where Jesus will come. He has a winnowing fan, and he's going to gather. He's going to separate. There's going to be a separation, and that's what the threshing floor is about. And Satan wanted to sift Peter. And Jesus said, he's asked to sift you. And he said, and when you've returned, he said, when the chaff is gone and when you return as wheat, as bread, then you come back and you feed my people. And we know that the threshing floor is a place of decision. We all must come. And one day all will come. We see that when Jesus has the winnowing fork in his hand. Verse 3, Naomi instructs Ruth. She says, wash yourself, anoint yourself, put on your best garment. Let's look at these first. Ruth is a widow, and she has carried herself as a widow, dressed as a widow, and there would have been no anointing of her body. She wore a widow's garment. Naomi says, that season has passed. Now bathe. Anoint yourself with oil and perfumes. It's not that Ruth had not bathed since her husband passed away, but this is a ceremony, just as a woman would wash away her uncleanness at the end of the month. This was a ceremony which Ruth was about to do, where she was to bathe. It was a ceremony to wash away her widowhood. And then anoint yourself with oil and perfumes. Those things would have been denied. And for women who live in the desert, when you don't have oil to put on your skin, it becomes so dry and just cracked and chafy. And so can you imagine not being able to... There was a time that you would mourn, and so you would not even use those things. And for those of us who love perfume, being denied that while you're a widow. But Naomi says, that time is past now, Ruth. It's past. And so now is the time. Let's do this. Put on that dress that reveals the beauty of your eyes and your femininity. You are going to request security and rest, going before the one who can provide. Let him see that you are no longer grieving, but now are hoping. Change your clothes, for you are desiring marriage. Take off the widow's garments and put on the garment of praise. Put on your festive clothes. Put on your best. It is time to put away mourning. Further instructions to Ruth. She says, go to the threshing floor. Watch. You need to be quiet, stand back, do not go in and make yourself known to anyone. But watch Boaz and wait until he is finished with the business of the day and he lies down. Then uncover his feet, lie down and wait. He will tell you what to do. Naomi is instructing Ruth in how she is to behave. It is not proper etiquette for a woman to go down to the threshing floor. It would have put Ruth in a bad light. Ruth had gained a good name in the town with the elders, with the women, with the workers, with the reapers. And so she's telling her, don't expose yourself to gossip and to be accused of something that's not true about you. So you sit back and you wait. And when he lies down, when he's finished with his business, and he lies down, uncover his feet, let him wake up gently, and when he does, he'll tell you what to do. Ruth follows Naomi's instructions. Now let's look. Uncover his feet and lie down. This action by Ruth was that of a servant. Servants would lay at their master's feet and be ready at any moment the master called. Naomi says to Ruth, go to Boaz in a humble and submissive way. Boaz is a kinsman redeemer, and the way it was done at the gate of the city where all business was transacted, this is how it was done. The woman would have gone up and she would have demanded that he fulfill the law because it was her right. But look at how Naomi is instructing Ruth. She said, you go in humility and submission to what he says. You do not go to the city gate and you do not demand. Because if he had refused her, the woman had the right then to spit in his face, and then that would have brought shame upon him. And so Naomi is telling her, you go and submit to what this man says, and do it privately. Ruth goes, and she puts her trust in Boaz to do what is right, not demanding, but with humility. Boaz wakes up, and he realizes that she is there. And he says, who are you? Ruth identifies herself and calls herself his maidservant. With great humility, she identifies herself to Boaz. This is what she says. She said, take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative. Let's read Ruth chapter 2, verse 12. The Lord repay your work and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. So we see that Boaz, back in chapter 2, had said to Ruth, you've come to the God of Israel and under his wings for refuge. And now she asked Boaz for refuge. She asked Boaz to marry her. That's what she was doing. In King James it says, spread therefore thy skirt over thy handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. The spreading of a skirt over a widow was a way of claiming her as a wife, and still exists with some Arab tribes. Even to the present day, when a Jewish man marries, he throws the skirt over her to signify he has taken her under his protection. Ruth to Boaz, she says, you are a Goel, a kinsman redeemer. And we see that this is what Boaz is saying about Ruth's request and his response to her. Everything that has been said about you is true in verses 10 and 11. You are a virtuous woman. I heard you committed yourself to Naomi, her people, her God, that you left everything. You are now asking for God's word, his law to be performed, not for you alone, but for Elimelech, for Malon, and Naomi. You are truly a selfless woman, Ruth. I am an older man, and you could have found a husband and left Naomi, left her and her husband's name to be blotted out forever. But you are a woman of your word. I want you to see how important it is for us to be people of our word, to keep our word. When he calls her a virtuous woman, that word is hayil in the Hebrew, and it means strength, moral strength, integrity, virtue. It is the same word used for a mighty man of valor. When he calls her a virtuous woman, it is the same word that's used in the Old Testament, mighty man of valor. What I see, Ruth, is that you desire God's way. You're not looking for just a husband. You are looking for a Goel, a kinsman redeemer. In other words, he's saying, Ruth, there were plenty of young men who would have married you. You could have had a family, and you would not have had to carry the burden of Naomi or her dead sons or her dead family. But that is not what you have chosen. What everything that has been reported about you is true above and beyond. Above and beyond. If Ruth had found a husband outside the family, Naomi would have been left destitute. The lands would never have been redeemed, and there would have been no seed raised up in Malon's name to inherit them. The family of Elimelech would have become extinct in Israel, and this was a shameful thing in Israel. But Ruth would not abandon Naomi. Ruth's request was so beautiful and telling of the kind of woman that was at Boaz's feet, that he had all but screamed, hallelujah. this man who was a mature man, an elder at the city gate, who was not married and had no children. This is the kind of woman that God has brought to him. Ruth made an appeal to Boaz for the redemption of the family's land and offered herself to be the mother of its heirs if Boaz would do his part. This is literally what she's saying to him, that our firstborn child will actually belong to this family, will carry that family's name so that they will not be blotted out, that they will have someone to inherit, to continue that family line. This was the kindness that she had shown at the end, and it so delighted Boaz. It revealed the heart of Ruth. When Ruth said, "Your God shall be my God, your people shall be my people," Ruth has seen revival. This is revival. What was dead is given life and is revived. In verses 13 and 14, as we come to the close of this chapter, we are told that there is a closer relative than Boaz. There was another Goel, closer in relationship to Elimelech. Unless this Goel would relinquish his rights, Boaz would have to step aside. "I will perform the duty for you as the Lord lives. Lie down." Boaz wanted to handle this, not Ruth, to go to the other men. This is what he wanted to do. He wanted her to let him go and handle it. Boaz knew how to handle this, and he knew this man. And it's evident in the way he handles it in chapter 4. In verses 15 through 17, this is a deposit of what is to come. "Naomi will see this and know I intend to fulfill the law of God." In verse 18, she's told to sit still. The man will conclude the matter this day. And you know, when we see that he gives her 6 ephahs, Ruth apparently was a very strong woman, because this was not just, this was not like a 5-pound bag of flour you're carrying back home. She was carrying 30 pounds or more. Some commentaries say 80 pounds. That's a lot. I would struggle with pulling 80 pounds. But she's carrying a lot. She is carrying an abundance, a great abundance back. And, you know, this is something that I saw. I did not read this in the commentaries. I've not heard anyone say it. But this is something I feel like the Lord showed me, that he gave Ruth enough grain to last till the wedding, that she would be able to take this home. Naomi would see this and say, "Oh, we have plenty of time to prepare." And she knew that Boaz would not let this matter rest, nor would he rest until all was accomplished of what Ruth has asked. And you know what is so amazing is that so many men will not take on the responsibility of another man's child. But how many men would have a child and then say, "This one belongs to the dead man," so that he may receive everything that belonged to the dead man? Our laws are different than what the laws were there, and even what the laws are today in that part of the country. And so sometimes with our Western thinking, it's hard for us to realize the magnitude of the transaction that is about to take place. Amen. Amen.